Welcome to Sunday Service with Dr. Paula Price. Take a seat, open up your Bible, and prepare to enjoy an evening of praise, worship, revelation, and insight as Dr. Price releases pearls of wisdom from the throne of God.
Before, the Bible says in Proverbs 8 that God brought Jesus forth before his works of old, before the mountains and the earth were made, before the primeval dust of the earth ever happened. So you got to know how this works. Now, I know you're not going to get it all today, but you're going to buy the CD, right? And you're going to not just put it in your purse and your pocketbook, right? You're going to listen to it. Isn't that great? Because if you're going to get up on a Sunday morning and not eat pancakes and come to church, you ought to learn something. Y'all know it's the truth. Say, yes, it's true. Uh-huh. So I want you to hear me. Hear this. God had one plan to give everything to Jesus because Jesus becomes the carrier. He's the portability of God. God can't move. He can't move because there's no place for him to go. Why is there no place for him to go? Because he fills everything. If you fill a whole room, guess what? You don't have anywhere to go. You realize that, right? You fill your clothes, you can't go anywhere in those clothes. So you have to let the clothes go with you. Portability. Jesus is how God gets around. Jesus is how God replicates himself. That's how important this man is to his Father. The Bible says in Micah that Jesus has been traveling throughout creation since the beginning. His going forth has been from of old. You got to know this because you need to know why your faith is the faith. You need to know that why your God is the God. You need to know why God is fussy about how he does things. Because if you don't know his history, you can't respect your destiny. And that's what's important. God's history is your destiny. So he goes there and he said, his brothers, he cast down. Why? And then the word of their testimony, and it did not love their souls unto death. Now, I'm going to show you that eternal people were dying too under Satan's regime. Now, how they died, I couldn't tell you. I probably will by Tuesday because y'all going to start aggravating me. Now, if you remember, God made, I'm talking to Genesis now. We're going to go to Genesis 3. You remember, God created man on day 6. So what did he do with him on day 8? He created man, male and female, day 6, had Sabbath, day 7, and then day 8, he's putting him on earth, which is why the body has to go back to the dust. It's the only thing that wasn't made eternal. Your soul's immortal, your spirit's eternal. So he says, now, hallelujah, I just appreciate God. Let's go to 2 first so I can read the whole creation, making a man thing. Well, because we already know he was made day 6, right? 127. And God says, okay, let me just do it right because, see, I hate jumping. I hate jumping scripture because y'all be trying to follow me and I talk fast anyway. 126, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them, he already says man, singular, them, after that means there's a bunch of them, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed to you, it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and it is so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day, which is why 6 is the number of man. So he finished it. Let's go over there to 2:15. Well, let's not do that yet, because I want to get to the seventh verse. 2:7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and what? Breathed into his nostrils, and what did he breathe? The breath of life. Not the spirit of life. The breath of life. Natural life. And man became a living being. Now, modernists, because remember, people who are translating the Bible today are Democrats. They're not theocrats. And I'm going to tell you right now, you better understand that when you buy your translations, which is why you can't see the dominion of Jesus Christ. Because you are thinking like a Democrat. Where in a democracy, come on, hear what I'm saying, because it's very important. In a democracy, the people are sovereign. In a theocracy, God is sovereign. The Middle East, theocracy. America, democracy. Now, if you have a people that you groom to think they're sovereign, it's pretty hard to get them to obey a God because they're sovereign. They make all of the decisions. They do all of the things. They decide what is and isn't. Now, first of all, I'm here to tell you, this is my own personal pet peeve, personal meaning me, I don't believe there's any such thing as a true democracy. Because if you have to have one ruler, that cancels out the sovereignty of the masses. But that's a whole other thing. That's my personal. So I wrote it as on tape. Personal. Not political. My own personal feeling on the subject. So, but in a democracy where people are sovereign, we flip the scriptures according to time, trend, and culture. But hear me. And set your soul free. The scriptures were purposely not saved for a democratic era. They were concluded in a monarchical era for a purpose. And that is that we would understand that we're not going to a president. We're going to a king. Now here's why it's important for you to recognize that. Because presidents are elected officials. So you don't elect Jesus. See, I'm saying you are the elect. In case you didn't get it rising. You know Jesus, he not, I'm king. You're the elect. He is the sovereign. And when God deals with things, he deals with things according to his creation. So they write living being. Because in their mind, living being is a whole other thing than a soul, because if you write being, you don't have to worry about what happens to the soul. But the original language is living soul, nephesh. Why? Because on day six, he created man in the spirit with a soul. But on day eight, he formed that body and he did something. You know what he did? He breathed man out of his being. Into the body. Can you imagine that? That's scary. You know, God is a scary God. I mean, this man is a scary God. I told him, so y'all just, there you go, Adam, Eve, huh? Breathed him out. And when he breathed him out, he had a spirit, he had a soul, and he's now in the body. And the man did not get his life, his mortal life, until he hit the planet. But he had his eternal life from being born and created inside of God in God's world. That's why it has to why. Why am I saying this? War in heaven. Problem began in heaven. We began in heaven. And transported us to earth with his breath. I'm too mad with God. I'm going to tell you, this man knows he's a sugar pie God. Can you imagine? God, every time he wants to do something, he wants to let us know, y'all don't know nothing. You know, he don't want to embarrass your language, embarrass your science. He decides to get Jesus to the planet. He doesn't make him a spaceship. He put him in a sperm. And sends the Son of God, the eternal creator, through time and space, in sperm. You know he's showing off. I told him, I said, you ain't doing nothing but showing off. You know you're showing off. They breathe and man becomes a living soul. Hence the three-part being of man. Now, the soul is not really dealt with until we get to earth. But it is the two things that came from outside of time or what God is dealing with now. Just remember that. Your body don't mean a thing to God. I'm telling you, I love these people to tell me, the Lord knows I need it to not mean much to God. Anyway, but I tell God, all these people, I'm 83 years old. I still swim laps. I still, how many of y'all look at that skin and still get old? Muscles got good sense. The Almighty said we got to melt, and melt we shall. Bones got to break down. Why? Because this wasn't God's best work. Woo! This wasn't his best work. God's best work is Jesus. You know that's good. You better go on and act like it's good, because you know that is sugar pie good. God's best work is Jesus. His top of the line creation is Jesus. We are like Jesus, 55th tenth to the power removed. That's why we die. Because he even made us in his world, and yet we still must be born again to get the top of the line model of humanity. And that's so awesome. Gotta love him up. Gotta love him up. He's a sugar pie Jesus. We're fighting to keep off of something that God calls obsolete. When you look up the definitions of old man, it means obsoleted. We are the obsolete model. Hallelujah. It's like going to your friend's house in the country and with the rotary dial. Man, you can't make a call because it's too much work. You're going to need a splint. Because we're like, call Tyler. Call ain't Tyler. We went from deep because in their world, word, not manualness, is what rules. That's why your words are so important. Because everything they do is work. Work. So God formed man from the dust of the ground. And look what he said. Verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, out of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone, and made him a helper who helped him out. HaMashiach. We know the story. The woman saw the fruit. She liked it. The woman went out on dates with the serpent. She went to the serpent to get wisdom. Went to the serpent to understand her roots and her heritage. Hallelujah. She did. And this says, but she ate. But hear this, people. When she ate, nothing happened. Because she wasn't the carrier of eternal life. She wasn't carrying of the seed of life. That's how come I can say that the seed of life comes from the father. The soul comes from the mama. The father carries the seed, the spirit of the baby. That thing to give him life. Well, how do you know that? Because Mary carried Jesus and didn't contaminate him. In the same way that Eve ate and it, nothing happened. Isn't that powerful? That's why I tell y'all young women, y'all be making babies. Y'all don't know who y'all bringing in the world. You don't know whose kid you're bringing in or nothing. You're just like, I'm having a blast. Some of y'all be blasting 27 years later. Talking about, man, I don't know where I got this kid from. Because Eve got pregnant and the first child she had was who? The son of the wicked one. First kid. Because all gods take the first fruit. Those are just divine principles. I'm not even trying to be deep. Divine principles. All gods take first fruit. That's the law of creation. How much she, well, anyway, oh, how I love Jesus. Anyway, so they had this whole thing. I know I got y'all hanging on the limb, right? Y'all be like, oh, yeah, I told my daughters, you better be careful who you want that first kid by. and trust me and ask me, if my word not coming to pass? So anyway, moving along. Moving right along. Oh, you two fathers, you don't know whose soul you're bringing in. You don't know whose family you are giving life to. Whose generation you're perpetuating. Why do you think? See, it's not about us caring about whether or not they go to church. It's about us being concerned about what fruit we bring to Creator. That's why we make a big deal about it. Now, you know, right now, God decided that was too big an issue for y'all, so he decided to come up with something called a new birth. So I'll handle it myself. All right. I can't leave this with y'all. Y'all can't help yourself. You're going to do what you want to do. Gave you free will. I don't know what I'm getting, but it's all right. But God made Jesus his best. And that is why your faith, see, war in heaven. So I don't care what Buddha says. I don't care what Krishna says. I don't care what the Hindus say, the Taoists say. I don't care what the Muslims say. I'm telling you that they came from Abraham, but they did not come from Isaac. And Jesus came from Isaac because God changed Isaac's genetics. So Abraham had a lot. When God said he was going to make him the father of many nations, he made it. Abraham had three women that he made children by. Three. Sarah was the only one that had one kid. He had Hagar, got all of them Ishmaelites like that. Sarah, all the Isaac folk, all the Jews. And then he had Keturah. So he had three families, but only one carried the sperm of Christ. And that's what you want to do. Remember I said continuum. Following the line of Christ. Isn't that good? That is why the writers of the Gospels make a big deal about giving you the lineage of Christ. A lot of people came from Adam, but not everybody came from Seth. Abel died. So the only kid Adam had to father the children of darkness is Cain. Because Abel died. And the Bible said when Seth was born, men began to call on the name of the Lord. You have to understand your history to understand why God makes the decisions he makes. He's calling shots on what he did, not what you mean. Lord, I meant to do you right. Yeah, I know, but you didn't quite do that. That's like your kid going to make you a cake that you can't eat. Here, Mommy. It's dripping. It's got stuff in it. Got a little bit of the Play-Doh glue in there for you. Just give a little color. Kid got send them no food should have color. Put a little color in there for you. You can't do a thing with it. They meant well. And we do that. We mean well, but we can't do well because we are the obsolete model. Y'all didn't hear me. We are the obsolete. We're what God worked on and said didn't work. Why? Because he had that war in heaven, guys. He's not repeating history. He had that war in heaven, and that war in heaven is what... somebody going to hear me. Is where we begin, because that's where the problem began to show up. So he says there... I'm going to wrap this up for the day, because you know we're going to be on this for a while. But you need to know, it didn't begin on earth. You keep telling everybody this began in the Garden of Eden. It did not. It did not. God could have just blown up the whole planet and been done if that was his problem. He had tons more. No, it didn't begin in the Garden of Eden. And Adam carried more than Cain and Abel. He carried the seed of Christ. That is why he did not destroy Adam, because Adam had his son. He had the line of David. Because everybody said, if I was God, I would have just killed Adam. And then what? And then what? Because every genetic God makes is a one of a kind. We don't get two snowflakes alike. Oh, somebody going to hear what I just said. We don't get two pieces of dust just alike. So you know that if he had to remake Adam, it was going to be a different genetic composition. And he would have had to remake him what? After he fell. After he destroyed the earth. After Satan owned the planet. You understand what I'm saying to you? There were a lot of really wise divine decisions for why he didn't stop there, but decided to live with the problem. Slowly work it out. See, because if he remakes Adam after Adam falls, hallelujah, after the earth is now cursed, so he's not going to get this pristine body. Oh, somebody hear what I just said. Then he got to remake Eve, who is now Satan's woman, which is why she's bringing forth Cain first. Y'all all right? Just wave at me, say I'm all right. You know, I got to get y'all to say I'm all right. Because, you know, you go slamming people's sacred cows, boy. You got to go, hey, you almost got to take and get a defense team. Slamming. Do you know why this is important? I know they tell you that this isn't, but it wasn't important 40 years ago when all you had to do was tell people that God is love. Now everybody's telling people that Buddha is love, Islam is love, okay, the witches are love, the white witches are love. Everybody's saying that. You need to now find out what your edge is, and you don't know your kingdom edge. You don't know your Christian edge. And all you say, well, I don't know. Well, the Bible says. They don't read your Bible, and if they do, they don't understand it with your mind because they don't have the Spirit of Christ on the inside. I made it my business to know how to defend my faith. I think it's our responsibility, but I think it's also our fairness, our loyalty to Christ. A lot of things I don't do. Now, I understand why Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. Yeah, we can make a decision to do anything we want. God made a decision to make Adam, even though he knew he was going to fall. He knew where that serpent was. He knew where that dragon was. He knew where Satan was prone to show up. He knew that because he had kicked him out of heaven. Oh. Why would he not make him? One reason and one reason only. That whether he called him Adam, Pete, James, Henry, Micaiah, it doesn't matter. There had to be a first man. There had to be a first man. Anybody flowing with me on this? If there had to be a first man, what his name was didn't matter. The fact was the plan had to happen at some point. And God's only reason for not doing it would be the thing that he condemns the most in life. Fear. He was not afraid of Satan's casualties. He said, I'm going to turn it around, God. Because he already knows that the obsolete model is what he was working with. Satan thought he had the best. God knew the best was in Christ. You know that's good. Come on and act like y'all know he's a sugar pie God. You know he's a sugar honey. Yes, he is. He says a good man. He's a good God. We serve the good shepherd. So he did not remake Adam because he would have had to remake the whole planet. Too much work. Isn't that too much work? The man already did 7 days. He like, I just did 7 days of hard work. No, I'm not doing that again. I got to start with the stars because everything was contaminated. See, because we preach a democracy mindset, it's all about the people. We're the center of the earth. We're the reason God is. That's not true. Jesus is the reason. And it's always going to be about Jesus. Now, we are fortunate we get to be partakers of his inheritance. But we are just partakers. We just get a piece. He gets it all. I'm going to wrap this up with you all, and then we're going to go, pick this up next week. But I just want to give you the war in heaven, Garden of Eden piece. So God said, you know the story. They were naked. They hid from God. And they told him they were afraid because they were naked, which they had never known before. And which means the first thing Satan did was let them know, you are no longer like your creator. See, the word naked is not just naked because they have no clothes, because they had a covering. He said, but you no longer look like him. And that's when they saw themselves for the first time without the glory. For the first time. they saw themselves, and they weren't anything like they remembered. And he said, because you have been, and so he says to the woman, you know, and you know the blaming brothers. I love the blaming brothers. Okay, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded that you should not eat? Then the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. See, I'm like, now, baby, you got muscles. Sugar, you should have slapped. I'm going to tell you right now, y'all, you should have slapped that sister and said, God, I need a new one. Now we want to replace them. It's a little late. This, now understand, nothing happened when she ate. But it didn't, in other words, nothing happened to Adam. It only happened to her. He looked at her and saw she was different. That's why he understood what Satan did. But he had a hard decision to make at that point. And that is, can God do it again? See, we all get stuck on, can God do it a second time? Can he do it a third time? Can he give me the right woman? Can he give me the right man? I'm sorry, God, I made a bad choice. But guess what? I'm not going to multiply that choice by serving her new God. Oh, somebody going to roll with this. So Adam said, if you hadn't made this woman, I wouldn't have eaten. But God knew it wouldn't matter what woman. Because his issue was not with Eve, it was with God. Satan sold him on the fact that he was going to be like God. So his issue wasn't his wife. His wife was his instrument. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, Lord. I really love you, Jesus. Listen, y'all better love on him, because this is his truth. See, we've been hearing humanist truth. We've been hearing demonic truth, but this is God's truth. This is God's experience with humanity. This is what he lost. This is his cost. We act like he doesn't understand our pains. We act like he doesn't know what it is to be betrayed. We act like he doesn't know what it is to be sold out. We act like he doesn't know what it is to lose it all. This is about God losing it all. Knowing when he started it that the possibility of losing it all was real, but confident in his abilities to recover. He was confident that he could get it back. Confident. Why? Because he had the best on the shelf. He just lost the test case. He lost the laboratory. But he still had the best on the shelf. It's a sugar pie Jesus. So he tells him, you know, to the dust, the curse, everybody's cursed. Yeah, I'm not going to get, nobody's going to have anything. It's not going to be good. He said, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, you shall bruise his heel. And he said to the woman, here's when he let you know that they died. Because everybody said, Adam ate, but he didn't die. Read this. To the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. Why is he multiplying conception? Because they're dying. Babies were never meant to die, but neither were humans. And he's saying, now, you're going to lose some kids. And so in order for me to get the quota I want, you're going to have more than enough for me to get my quota. See, God wants what he wants. We teach people that God is so loving and so gracious and so selfless that he just will destroy himself for us. Are you kidding? God destroyed one, not all the Godhead. Just one. The one he could bring back. And then he said to Adam, cursed is the ground for your sake. And he goes on to tell you, it's going to be hard for you to work. And you shall eat the herb of the field and the sweat of your brow. You shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and dust you shall return. He became what the serpent is. The serpent was a dragon. Dragons walked on two legs. God took his extremities and put him on his belly. Now that had to be an amazing mutation. Put him on his belly and said, you will crawl on your belly. See, we didn't read that. He said dragon in heaven. Dragons have arms. When you read about the seraphim, they have arms and legs. But the serpent that Satan used walked on his belly, crawling on his belly. God downgraded creation yet another time. He's already working with the obsolete model. Now he's downgrading it a second time. And all creation with it. That's the reason. The enmity, we always just read that. I like to give people the backstory. We're going to study next week Isaiah 14. To go to this. And the week after that, we're going to study Ezekiel 28. After they did that, Adam and his wife no longer could think each other. He had to name her. Eve got a name after she fell because she could no longer feel him and be that one with him. He had to now use his voice to call her and to communicate. When they were one soul, it didn't matter. All of these things that you see are signs that what God said about Adam really happened. He said, you will surely die. Adam started passing on dead kids, which is why she had to multiply. Because at the time he was made, he had no dead sperm. When he fell and Satan came in, who was dead, he brought death into his body. That's why she had to have multiple conceptions. His sperm was not going to be one sperm, one kid, one sperm, one kid. Now there's 2 million sperm for one kid. That's how serious that thing was. Okay? And they all got to fight. Baby, you know, science does prove the Bible if you let it. And so he's saying to him, you now need 2 million sperm to get one kid. Maybe 8 if we split the eggs. The eggs were splitting from the beginning, but the sperm was not. And that's what God wants you to understand. That's your why we need it. War in heaven started this whole thing. And that's the start point, the beginning point, the originating point. Somebody hear what I'm saying? That tells the story. You cannot tell the story from the incarnation of Christ. It doesn't make sense. Because it's way down the end of time, in the fullness of time. A whole lot of things went into this man being able to take upon himself flesh and being able to give you the power to rule and reign forever in Christ. Can you give God a praise? I said, give God a praise. Isn't it powerful? Powerful. You need to get the CD and sit down with your family and share it, because a lot of people don't know what their salvation means. They don't know why we lift our hands, why we praise him. They don't know why we serve him. They don't even know why we come to church. Just think, all the folk who didn't come to church today didn't hear a thing about what I said. But thank God for technology, because you're going to see to it that it gets out. Listen, the revelation continuum, write it in your notes. It begins with the war in heaven. That's the mystery. It begins with the war in heaven. Because they had a war in heaven that caused the problem. Because by the time Job gets around, think about it, Satan is already treated differently. He's already ceased to be Lucifer. So the war was there, and the war started the whole thing. And that is why, in order for you to inherit, you're going to have to war. You have to war with your flesh, war with your family, war with your issues, war with your money, war with your ego, war with your spouses, war with your jobs. You got to war. Why? Because that's how it all began. You were born out of conflict. Hallelujah. Not comfort. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. You're such a sugar pie, Jesus. We love you so much. Father, I thank you for your son. I thank you for your wisdom. I thank you for your plan of redemption. But Lord, I thank you for helping us know what it is that actually brought us into existence, why we believe, why we live, why we stand, and why we have such an awesome, never-ending future with you. Lord, I'm asking that this word permeate their hearts and their souls. Let it speak to them day and night. God, even let it begin to make connections in them between the questions they've had and the answers that you're giving. God, cause us to come into oneness with you, oneness with Jesus Christ, oneness with the Godhead, oneness with your family in heaven. And let us all be on the same page. If for no other reason, Lord, this wisdom is that we can all be on the same page with you, that we can all end up at the same place in the same glory. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ. I bless you this week. I anoint you for success. I anoint you for victory. I give you breakthroughs on all sides. And I give you peace from the throne of God and from the Lord Jesus Christ and the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.
Hi, this is Prophet Ashley. Luke 6 tells us to give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. Because you've been blessed by today's message, go to www.drpaulaprice.com and click on Sow a Seed. Thank you for attending today's Sunday sermon with Dr. Paula Price. Don't forget to participate in Dr. Price's live, weekly, interactive radio talk show right here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. Again, that is www.blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show.